Well, good evening, Mosaic. So good to be with all of you guys. Merry, Merry Christmas to you as we approach the day that we celebrate the most extraordinary events that took place in our human history. And we get to enter that day in just a few hours. This last month, we have had the privilege, if you've been around, or perhaps if you haven't, then this will be a good reminder, or at least a good entry point for you. We've had the privilege of traveling back in time in many ways, back into some of the geography, some of the characters and spaces that took place in our history that we prepare to celebrate tomorrow. So just a few weeks ago, as we traveled back into about 6 BC. We were in the city of Jerusalem. We got to walk into the outer courts of the temple. We got to sit just outside the inner courts of the temple next to a wonderful woman. Her name was Anna. She is a prophetess. We got to encounter some of her story as it was recorded in Scripture. We got to experience Simeon walking by, who would later hold Jesus in his hands and prophesy over him about being the Messiah. We got to experience Zechariah encountering the angel as the angel declared to him that his wife Elizabeth would conceive a child, even though she was not able to do that in all of her life, and that in conceiving that child would become a voice to declare and usher in the Messiah. It would become John the Baptist. We got to experience that in those spaces. And then 2 weeks ago, we traveled not to Jerusalem, but we traveled into a little town that goes by the name of Nazareth. It's a small town in Israel that not much ever happens in. The people of this town are usually born there, grow old there, and die there. It is a town that, as far as the world is concerned, nothing much ever comes out of. But in this particular town, we were able to encounter an amazing young woman who was just living her life and then encountered the person of Gabriel, an angel who came and declared to her that she would conceive a child not by the natural course of things, but by the Holy Spirit, and that this child would become the fulfillment of all of the promises that had been made in all of history past, from Genesis, the book of beginnings, all the way through the Old Testament. And we got to step into that space and encounter with Mary some of those events as they are recorded in the Gospels. And then this weekend that has just passed, we traveled back into the town in which we now still linger, the town of David, otherwise known as Bethlehem, a small town like Nazareth, but not quite as small, 6 miles south of Jerusalem. And we have landed in this town right at the time of the great census that Caesar Augustus had called and decreed. Now we're in about 5 BC and we're sitting here, and if you remember, if you were here this weekend or if you weren't, this will catch you up. We got to stand on the edge of this town later in the evening after darkness had enveloped everything beyond the outskirts of town and only the lanterns lit the streets. And we got to experience Joseph, exhausted and anxious, dragging that animal as quickly as he could with his wife Mary on the donkey in labor, groaning as the time quickly approaches that she would give birth to her child. The day had been long in their travel, and you could tell Joseph, wanting to be in town before dark, didn't quite make it. They banged on several doors, but could not find place until a wonderful young woman that had opened home to them couldn't fit them in the house, but told them that there was a cave where they kept their animals, and the animals were safe in the cave. Night after night, nothing had ever attacked the animals there, and so she felt that perhaps this would be a private and safe place for them to be able to walk through the night of potentially delivering this child. Joseph immediately accepted that, and we followed Mary and Joseph through the streets of Bethlehem toward the cave. But we were diverted because we remembered that this very night there would be shepherds that would encounter another extraordinary thing. So we followed into the fields. Our instinct, we headed toward Jerusalem, 6 miles north, and we were with the shepherds when the angel declared the good news of great joy that was coming to town that night. We followed those shepherds back into Bethlehem. We traveled through the streets as we watched for the child and finding the child through the singing of Mary again. We followed the shepherds to the very threshold of the cave in which Mary and Joseph this very night reside and wait for the birth of their child, and now have realized it. If you were here this weekend, you remember we were about to enter this cave as the shepherds had before us, one at a time. But we stopped at the threshold because we recognize that in all of human history, the most sacred moment was occurring inside of this cave, had arrived inside of this cave. Perhaps the only moments that would rival the sacred nature of what we encounter inside this cave will come later at the death and resurrection of the same child that is inside this cave. But as far as history goes, there is a sacred nature of the entry of this cave that we need to show our due respect to. And so I promised you this weekend that we would enter this cave. And here we stand appropriately on Christmas Eve, ready to enter the cave and to see what we find. So are you ready to enter the cave? Let's do that. As we stand here, right at this time of history, at this night, at this space, we duck down as we would into a cave like this with a relatively small entrance, and we push in through what doesn't feel dark because the lanterns inside the cave bring light. The first thing you'll notice as you enter the cave with me is that the shepherds who came in just minutes before us are now standing just to the right of the cave, and one is hugging the other. It is that kind of hug that you give to each other when you have just realized something so profound. The dream of your life, the longings of your heart have come true, and you're just hugging someone you love to say, "Can you believe this? Can you believe this?" And that's the kind of hug we're seeing as one shepherd puts his arms around the other and he backs them off, and we hear it in his voice. Such excitement. Quietly, though, because this cave is just, there's a quietness about it. And he says to his friend, this is really happening here, now, with us. To us now. To us now. A baby is born. A son is given. The words of Isaiah come to mind immediately to the shepherd as he says, Isaiah was right. Isaiah was right. After all our waiting on this child, all of the governance of history will fall on his shoulders. He will hold the weight of history in his hands. On this child will be that weight. And yet he will be called Wonderful Counselor. He will be called the Mighty God. He will be called the Everlasting Father. He will be called the Prince of Peace. And of his governance, there will be no end, and of his peace, there will be no ceasing. We hear the shepherds say those very words. And then it happens almost immediately, quietly, as we stand in the cave. I don't know if you can even feel it with me. But it's almost like a whisper, like an invitation to forget what's going on around us. Suddenly everything becomes still and quiet, silent, not audibly silent. And there's still the scattering and scuffling of the animals. There's still the movement of the child in the manger, the sounds of a baby. The quiet conversation of the shepherds still continue, and we can hear it with our ears, but yet there is a quiet to this place that begins to instill in us a sense of the holiness, the sacred nature of where we stand. It is the kind of quiet that the best way I can describe, if I could imagine another space that would feel like this, but less than this, would be the kind of quiet you might experience if you could theoretically live through the onslaught of a giant hurricane and then find yourself in the eye of the storm as the majority of its power has passed through you, and you stand in the very center of a raging storm, and yet you are at perfect peace. See, this space that holds this baby holds for our soul a quietness. It's almost as though fear can't exist in this place. It is as though the insecurities, the raging wars within us, the doubts and the fears, the things that stir in us, the pain and the suffering that we have experienced in this place, they all quiet. They all quiet. You get the sense that in this place, wars come to an end. That in this place, poverty dissipates and disappears. In this place, disease does not belong. There's something about this room that you just know in your heart. There is more here than the human imagination can possibly capture. And in the quiet of this place, like a quiet sea parting, the shepherds disappear, the room grows still, and a whisper comes to us. Would you like to meet him? Would you like to see him? We stare over at the manger, like the shepherds, I'm sure, did minutes before us, hesitant to walk across, because do you understand that the baby laying in this manger, if it is indeed the baby that has been prophesied in Scripture, that inside of this child resides divinity itself. And you know that until this moment, any time a human being encountered divinity, whether it be the Ark of the Covenant, whether it be Moses when he met God in the cleft of the rock, whether it be any other space, that every time the unapproachability of God was clear, because if our sin encountered God, we die. But somehow this invitation is different. Clothed in flesh, it's as though God has made himself accessible to us. And he whispers to our souls, come, come and see me. We walk over quietly to where the baby lays in the manger. Overwhelmed by what we know exists here, we reach out, we place our hand on the baby's face. Do you understand that this is the God who takes on our frame? Do you understand that? As we stare into this baby's face, it becomes clear to us that the very air this baby breathes is the air that he sustains with his breath. This is the architect of all of history. Inside the plan, we stand here in awe. The one who has no start and knows no end is confined to time and space in this baby's body. The everlasting God, this is the great I am before us, right here. This is the one who holds the stars in the very creases of his hands, and yet I hold his face in mine. The one who knows what lies beyond the universe itself is here embracing a baby's mind, tied to time and space. This is the monarch of the stars. This is the king above all kings. This is the ruler of my hearts. This is the savior of my sins. This is the one laying in this manger, the one that sees into my soul and knows each and every part of what lies within it, now embraces these finite eyes. This is the author climbing inside his own story. This is royalty robed in flesh. This is Jesus, our maker, in a baby's body. And I say in this moment, as we would, all hail the infinite infant God. You know, as we even stand here staring into the face of this child, do you realize that over the next 33 years, thousands of pages from historians from the Roman culture, the Greek culture, the Jewish culture, the Egyptian culture will record incredible things about this baby, incredible things about this man, authority by which he teaches, miracles that he effects, things that are unthinkable to mankind. Not only that, but he will have followers, followers that will follow him, particularly a few men that will become his closest disciples. And when they watch him grow into a man, they will watch him die a terrible death, and then they will stand at a cave just like this one, miles from here in Jerusalem, at a cave that once held his dead body and that will no longer hold him. And it will be recorded in Scripture that Peter in particular, one of his followers, will say as he leaves that cave that he marvels at the events that Jesus spoke of, realizing now that this was no ordinary man. This is the baby we stare into in the manger. This baby holds in his very life our human future. No wonder this is such a sacred place. No wonder this manger matters so much. Because there is more to this manger than just history, human history. This manger is also about you and I. As we stare into the face of this child, as we sit in this sacred place, his eyes turn and look at us. As he looks at us, he speaks, but not with words, because a baby can't speak with words. He speaks by his spirit, as though his spirit speaks to our spirit. And he says what he will say again and again that will be recorded in Scripture multiple times over. I am here for you. I have come for you. I will live for you. I will die for you. I will rise from the dead to conquer sin and death in you. And in so doing, I will set you free. I will give you life. I will create for you a hope and a future. I will take what is your pain and I will bring it to its end. I will redeem your future. I will restore your purpose. I will rescue your soul. These things will be recorded in Scripture. John, one of his disciples, will write about this moment in this way. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, the very revelation of God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he will say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word became our hope and our life. Paul, one of the disciples, will write to the church in Corinth that will be recorded in the letter in Scripture, that whomever comes to encounter Jesus, comes to realize who he is, comes to believe that he is, in fact, God in the flesh, come to rescue our souls, that anyone who believes in Jesus will no longer perish as they leave this planet, but they will have eternal life. It is recorded throughout the New Testament that all that was prophesied in the Old Testament was found in this child. And that is recorded in history. Hundreds of things said about this very child will come true in his story. And just as the shepherds discover inside that cave this very night, over history, we will discover time and time again that the events recorded here turn out to be exactly what the Scriptures said they would be. Thousands of years of history. And you know what we have today? We have watched the redemptive story of God smash through the geographical boundaries of his day, moving past Israel and past Rome into the outer ends of the earth. The incredible redemptive story of God has moved through cultures and through people groups and through languages. Many men and women of great power and corruption have tried to use this name to effect terrible things. And yet the redemptive story of God has kept moving through those terrible spaces, only to land here in 2018, continuing to become a space where you and I get to encounter the realities of Jesus. Folks, as we stand on Christmas Eve, ready to enter Christmas Day, it is at this manger that we belong for the whole day tomorrow. It is at this manger that we must find ourselves. Frankly, we should find ourselves here over and over again every day, but at the very least tomorrow. We live in a culture with 1,000 distractions. And don't get me wrong, those distractions have a ton of fun in them. We're going to unwrap gifts tomorrow. We're going to eat wonderful food tomorrow. We're going to hang out with people tomorrow, some that we love, some that maybe are difficult. Who knows? But in all of that, we will find joy because it's a holiday, because it's Christmas, because it's fun. But as much as those things are full of joy, tomorrow is not about those things. Those things are actually about this child. When we came up with gifts to unravel, when we came up with food to eat, we came up with those things to celebrate this child. And somewhere along the way, we've forgotten. And so it is my hope for you, my hope for me, that tomorrow, as the day begins, as our eyes open, that we will start our day standing beside this manger. That we will open our eyes, not thinking first about what's under the Christmas tree or first about the chaos that is about to ensue through the parties, but that we would stop right here, that we would look into the face of Christ, and we would remember that the Christ child has come to rescue our souls, to redeem our futures, and to restore our purpose. And out of that space, we would find our gratitude. We would find our wonder. We would find our marvel. And that like Mary and like Peter, both at different points in history, Mary in this very cave now, pondering the wonder of this child, and Peter, a cave just a few miles from here in 33 years from now, pondering, marveling at the wonders of the whole life, death, and resurrection of Christ, so too tomorrow we have an opportunity to stand and marvel at this child, at who he is, at what he's done, and at who we are because of him. And out of that, then let us celebrate with the grand parties that we have. Then let us unwrap our gifts and be grateful that we get to be gift givers because we have been the recipients of the greatest gift mankind has ever known. Because this is our story, isn't it? The gospel, the good news that the angel declared to the shepherds, I have good news of great joy, is this: that we would be the recipients of the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ, and that we would then become participants in the grace of God by becoming those who carry the redemptive story of God into the world so that we might see the redemption of God affect the world. And tomorrow we get to experience all of that in a microcosm called Christmas, to see Jesus, to know Jesus, and to make him known. May our Christmas day be right next to a manger, the manger where Jesus was born so that we might have life, freedom, and light. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the events that took place in this time of history where you came to this planet. God, we know many along the way have grappled with the doubts and the struggles of all of these events, and yet here we stand thousands of years later with thousands of pages of recorded history and the scriptures on top of that, revealing not only what happened during that time and what you did, but who you actually were and why you actually came. We stand here in awe that we are the recipients of your grace and your mercy through your life, your death, and your resurrection, that you came to conquer death and sin in us so that we might have life with you. God, for all those in this room that have encountered you, that know you, may this Christmas be a time where literally we would see with new eyes, know with new wonder, live with new gratitude as we ponder and marvel at who you are and what you've done, at the significance and the sacred nature of this cave where you were born, so that we might know you, have access to you. Emmanuel, God with us, thank you. And to those here that have not yet encountered you, do not yet know you, may this Christmas be the beginnings again of stirring in them curiosity, that you would stir in them curiosity and draw them quietly in your beautiful way into the invitation to encounter you, to know you, not as a baby 2,000 years ago, but as the living God of today, the resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who by your Spirit is present with us, shows us great and unsearchable things through your word, and the one that gives us life and wonder and hope and a future, not just here on this planet with new restoration, but for eternity future with new hope. God, we thank you for Christmas every year to celebrate these events, and most importantly, this cave, this manger, and your coming in the body of this child. We love you, Jesus. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name.